Coming up on TMS, just another day at the lab.
How do you get three Thanksgivings?
I'll explain later. Apple wants you to get some apps.
Get boycotting Santa.
Gosling says he don't care if you think he's sexy.
Steve Jobs' movie is no more at Sony.
Major spoilers.
Major spoilers. Yeah. V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
For over 100 years, we've been scrunching and folding toilet paper. Finally, there's a better way. Comfort Wipe, the sanitary paper extension arm and holder. The first improvement to toilet paper as we know it since the 1880s. It extends your reach a full 18 inches while it follows the contours of your body and comfortably cleans. It's as easy to use as a shower brush. Just pop on the toilet tissue and when through, just press the release button and the tissue drops right into the toilet.
Think about it. Toilet paper is really archaic and disgusting. The Comfort Wipe is a modern solution.
That's right. Never touch another dirty toilet tissue.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Now gluten free.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. That product's real, by the way. It's not just a joke.
You know, hearing that, part of me wanted to kind of Google so I could see what this thing looks like.
Yeah.
The other part of me is like, no, I think my imagination is far, far better. Like this, for lack of a better term, and yeah. I know she's coming up later on the show, but I'm picturing a robot arm holding like a clump of toilet paper.
Basically, I'm going to show
like
you this.
Like a mannequin arm.
Here's your, oh gosh. Yeah, this is it. I'll send you a photo here because you deserve to see this.
Hold on all right.
Okay, chat room. I'm putting it in there so you all can have some fun with it. There you have it. That's the thing, and it's real.
It's so archaic.
I know. The way we've done toilet paper since the 1800s is just so old school. Why don't I attach a freaking rod to it? Ugh, it's weird. Anyway, hey, whatever. People will buy anything if you give it to them. Give them a price. Give it an affordable price. They'll buy your toilet paper handle. Why the hell not? All right, Brian, I have been...
That's funny.
...sitting on something since Thursday that I need to share with the...
It's not something you're sitting on.
No, not literally sitting on. In fact, I'm standing right now. Standing desk. That's today's mode of transportation is standing.
Today's mode of non-transportation.
That's right. So, and I did the treadmill today. Yes. My legs are tired, but I'm still standing. I'm still standing better than I ever did.
Yeah.
Hold on. Is that a... Hold on. Let me guess who it is.
All right.
I'm still standing better than ever. Oh, it's Elton John.
Very good. Yes.
Don't like Elton John very much. Anyway.
That was a leap back over the shark for him. He was looking like he was going to go over the shark. Yeah. And then he's like, nope, not yet. I've still got some great stuff in me, and turned around and said,
so he's
back on the skis with my leather jacket. No shark today.
He was hovering over the shark.
That's right.
Wasn't quite ready to do it. He needed a famous princess to die in a horrible accident to then jump that shark officially. So I got to tell this story. You guys may have noticed there was no TMS PM this week, although we had spoke that morning as if, oh yeah, we'll see you later for TMS PM and all steam ahead. Nobody thought there'd be any change. Well, I also said on that show that I had to go get a medical scan done. It was a follow-up to last year's business. And it was just kind of hey, let's just see how things are going. Make sure everything's okay. I said, that sounds great. Dr. Harrison, what would you like me to do? And he said, well, I'll schedule an appointment. You're going to get another CT scan. And that's all. And that's all he said. No big deal. I figured, hey, I did that before. It was easy. I'll do that again. No problem.
Sure.
Now, keep in mind, last time they did that scan, they thought it was kidney stones. That's an important piece of this story as I go along.
Well, yeah, right. And prior to that, you were even thinking that they didn't even know exactly what they were going to do to you once you got to the doctor's office.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Because they were talking about things that didn't have anything to do with
it. Yeah, EKGs and all this stuff turned out to be a bunch of hokey-mokey. And I talked to the nurse who screwed that up, and she's like, I am so sorry I had you mixed up with this older man. And I said, all right, great. Sounds like the story of my life. That's every Saturday night for me. So let me paint you a visual picture here. Okay. Right. An audio, a photo is what we'll call this.
Oh, well, like a sound scene?
Yeah, a sound scene. Very good. It's like NPR. You're stuck in the driveway and you just can't leave your car until that story's right. over. Okay.
Sure.
So here's how it went. I got the appointment and they got me all set up and they said, oh, and I think I told you the part where they said, come in the day before and we need a blood test. So basically they forgot to get a blood test, which is also weird. Mm. I said, what's the blood test for? Oh, we just want to make sure your kidneys can handle it. I'm like, well, no, wait, kidneys, wait. We're not talking about the kidneys. What are we doing here? She goes, no, we know, we understand. It's the scan. Oh, okay. And I didn't realize the scan had any sort of, you know, potential effect on somebody's kidneys, but that's fine. Well, if it does, you know, it's good to know that my kidneys are healthy and that there's no issues there so that the scan won't cause any issues. That's all I knew about it, was that the scan maybe could interfere with the kidneys. That's all I understood.
Okay,
so I walked away going, okay, that makes sense to me. Not really, but okay. You're the doctors.
I'll buy it.
I'll buy that. Sure, I'll buy that for a dollar. So I went in there, I left there, and I did the test. And the next day we called the hospital, and I said, okay, so we're good. They said, yes, it's the right test this time. We need to schedule you in. Now you have an option. You can come in today at 2, or you can come in Monday, which would have been today. And I said, let's get it over with. Let's get in there and get it done. And so Kim says, great. They said, now you haven't been eating for 24 hours? And I went, no.
Nobody told me that.
No one said I shouldn't do that. And last time I had this scan done, they didn't ask me to do that at all. It was fine. She goes, oh, well, let's see. What time is it now? I said 11. She goes, well, it's till 2. Okay, no problem. That should be enough. I'm like, no, hold on a minute. 11. To 12 is 1, to 1 is 2, to 2 is 3 hours. Right. You're telling me 3 hours is enough, even though what you wanted was a 24-hour, like, fast?
24, 3, it's all medical, it's all, you know.
Like, what bizarre world am I in here? I was kind of...
Starts at a dartboard.
She goes, well, it's just to make sure, you know, it's not that big a deal for this test. I said, okay, well, it's... fine. So we go in there.
Next time I go to the doctor and he says, you know, make sure you don't eat anything for 24 hours. Yeah. I'm going to say, now, is this like a real 24 hours or could this be like 3 hours?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And here's the worst part. Because when she said this on the phone, I went, so the thing's at 2 and I'll be done, what, 2:30? I'm trying to plan my day.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, no. It doesn't end. The actual scan's at 4. I said, well, why am I coming in at 2? She goes, well, you have to come in early. I'm like, 2 hours early? I have to come in at 2 and not get the scan till 4? How long's the scan? 10 minutes. Well, all right, fine. I'll see it too. So
do I get a massage or what the?
Oh, dude, I wish, because what I got instead is the worst day of my life. So I go in there at 2 o'clock, as I've been instructed by medical professionals, and they said, Scott Johnson, I turn around and there's this very nice looking older lady. She's probably in her very early 60s. She's in full scrubs, you know, cute little glasses on the end of her nose. And she comes out carrying, and again, none of this is all unbeknownst to me. She comes out carrying a 20-ounce or so looking, very medical looking bottle. Like if you could take a bottle of alcohol, I don't mean drinking alcohol, but rubbing alcohol, and make that bigger, that's what this thing looked like. Very nondescript, very generic, but it was full of something yellow. Okay, like 20 ounces of something yellow. And she came over to me with this bottle and a little cup. And she goes, all right, what I need you to do is drink all of this. But I need you to do it every 15 minutes, one cup every 15 minutes for the next 2 hours. Can you do that?
Oh, wow. So like 8 servings of this stuff.
Yeah. And I said, oh, what is this? She goes, oh, this is the contrast. And I went, oh, that. All right. I get it. I know what that is. That's like some iodine in there. It's supposed to go into your system and kind of highlight your gut so it's easier to see.
That way when they x-ray or when they scan you, not x-ray, but CT scan you, then you get like a picture, a prettier picture.
Yeah, an easier to see thing. I understand. You know, I get it. I've adjusted contrast on my television. I told her, I said, I understand. I totally get it. So I'm thinking no big deal. And I say to her, Brian, here's the important bit. I turn to her and I say, are there any side effects? And she says, oh, no, you'll probably have to pee a little bit, but it's fine. It tastes like lemonade, she says. And she goes, and it has a little bit of an aftertaste, but it's nothing too bad. She goes, it tastes like Crystal Light. Have you had the Crystal Light? I said, yeah. Well, then it just says it's a bit like that. I said, okay. So my side effects are I might have to pee a little and it tastes like
aftertaste.
And it has an aftertaste, tastes a little like Crystal Light. Fine. like a lady diet drink. I got it. I'll drink this.
Right.
And sure enough, truth be told, it tasted like Crystal Light. It was lemonade, basically.
Right. Chemically lemonade.
Sure. So I had my first downed a cup and went, all right, it's not too bad. And Kim's there with me reminding me when the new time's coming up. Meanwhile, on the TV, they're playing reruns of Boy Meets World for who knows the hell why on Nickelodeon. Huh. So,
doctor's offices only seem to get cable channels from the 90s.
It's really odd. I mean,
it's
this
like they have a time machine DVR or something.
And this is even worse because it's a big waiting area in an actual hospital near the lab with like way more seats and way more people for lots of different reasons. And they're still playing this garbage. Anyway, so I'm sitting there trying to enjoy that, reading comics on my iPad, kind of intermittently talking to Kim. Every 15 minutes, drinking it down. Well, yeah, sure enough, I sure do have to pee a couple of times. That's fine. That's good. She said that was a thing. No big deal. I get toward the end. I got about half a little cup left, and she comes to get me. And she says, all right, how are we doing? I said, well, this is all I got left. She goes, oh, perfect. Okay, let's go. And I said,
she was about to say, oh, I gave you the wrong stuff.
Oh, shoot. That was man urine. I'm sorry. Let's go back and do it again. Because it did. It was like yellow pee. But anyway,
why it was warm?
So I said, she says, so you okay? And I said, you know what? And I'm being all jokey hokey. I go, yeah, you know what? You're right. I did sure have to pee a bit. She goes, oh, and later, you're going to have some really bad diarrhea. She tells me this after I asked her. I asked her way before, what are the side effects? She doesn't tell me this until after it's gone. Strategically, I can only assume, right?
Sure, sure.
So I said, oh, really? She goes, oh, yeah, it's kind of bad for some people. Some people really react
explosive.
Badly. Yeah, it's the worst. You're going to have a real hard time. I'm thinking, well, you could have said something. I realize it couldn't have changed anything, but you could have at least said something. A, because that would have been a nice thing to do. And B, I haven't done the 24-hour fast. I've done your little three-hour freaking fakery one. So anyway, so I get in there. I put on the footies and the freaking gown and the, you know, so I'm looking like a complete idiot. Yeah. And now I'm waiting in this waiting room.
Oh, God.
And I went, oh, that's it. That's the sign. That's the one. And sure enough, let's just say the freight train came through the city and never stopped. No stopping, just right on through to its next destination. That stuff just tore through me. Now, it's fine because I'm thinking, all right, well, that's done. Now I can go get into the scan. I go get into the scan, and she says, now we're going to do the IV version of the iodine as well. And I said, you realize I just, you know, just made somebody down at the treatment plant's day by just destroying it. I go, you understand, you know, like this is bad. She goes, well, it's all fine now. You're okay now? And I said, well, I think so, but what if in the middle of this 10-minute supposed scan, I have to go? And she says, well, there's nothing you can do. You'll just have to hold it, is what she told me. So now I feel like my grandma's talking to me and telling me what for.
Right.
So I'm sitting in there. She now puts an IV and then she says to me, have you done this before? I said, no, last time they didn't do any of this. And she goes, well, this IV's got more iodine. Now these go right to your organs. So they show up better as well. It's a contrast for your bloodstream. I'm like, great. I got it. Okay, we're good. She goes, are there any side effects to that? And she says, oh, yes. I said, well, what are they? It's going to feel like your ears are burning and that you've peed your pants. I said, it's going to feel like that or it is going to be that? She goes, no, it'll just feel like it.
It won't feel like you peed your pants.
Yeah. She goes, it won't be that you peed. You just will feel like you did. So don't worry about it. And even if you did, we'd take care of it. I'm like, whoa, even if we did, let's not. Where are we going? You know, like,
how often does this happen?
Yeah. Well, according to her, everybody feels it differently, but all of them report feeling like they just wet themselves. So I'm thinking, this is the worst day so far of my life, and I'm still in it. Like, we're not done yet.
We're not even, you're just barely cresting the hill.
Yeah. So I'm in there, and they start doing the scan, and then she says, all right, now she comes over.
Now, okay, this is when your punishment will be much more severe. She says, this is going to be when you feel like you've peed.
I said, okay. And she says, hold your arms up. So I'm holding my arms up, and I guess that's to make it so that the IV goes through me more or something.
Put your hands in this warm water.
So it's all just a big practical joke to get me to pee. But I'm in this, big donut-shaped scanner with my arms up and an IV in there. And the thing starts going, I feel like I was in a time machine. It was really weird. It starts spinning like crazy. And the voice goes, breathe in. It's like a robot voice. breathe in and hold it. So I go, and I'm holding it. And he goes, keep holding your breath. And this thing's going, wah, 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 and just starting to go over me. Sure enough, dude, suddenly as it passes over my guts, the unmistakably sensation that I am full on peeing myself. She was dead correct. And it was just like, and I just felt like I was peeing everywhere. And all I could think of was, I hope I'm not really peeing everywhere.
I know. See, that would be the thing I'm worried about. Like, oh, yeah, this feels just like I'm peeing. God, I hope I'm not peeing.
Yeah, I mean, it was so literally, just so literal, the feeling of it, that right. I don't think they explained it very well. Like, she made it seem like it might feel, you know, it just felt like maybe I'm going to feel this weird sensation. But no, I felt the hand of Satan that day on my crotch. And it was just this horrible feeling, and my ears are burning, and it's weird. It's a weird feeling. And she says, now your mouth might taste like you got a handful of nickels in there, is what she said.
Oh my God.
And sure enough, it tasted like there was change in my mouth only during the scan. This is all very frightening. All the while, I've got iodine freaking energy drink tearing my guts new ways.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you're like,
oh, it's dying. That's dying, Brian. Dying, Brian. And by the time she was finished, she goes, okay, how'd we do? Everything okay? I go, well, can you make sure I didn't pee, number one, because I can't tell still. I think I may have peed. And second of all, you need to hurry up.
Give me a pat down.
I go, you need to hurry up because I have got to go. And so she says, now, when you talk to your doctor, make sure you let him know that you had that reaction to the drink, because that's a thing we could probably have done a different type that wasn't so hard on people's tummies. Oh. Well, then give it to me in the first place.
Right, exactly. Or warn me. Ask me, are you sensitive to diarrhea issues?
But even then, she says most people have a problem with it. Well, then get the other thing for most people. She goes, very rarely someone will have the opposite problem. They'll get all plugged up for weeks. Either way, oh, your God. Yellow drink sucks. Get me a different kind. Because if all you're trying to do is pump me full of iodine, okay, then at the end she says, I've been doing this for 40 years, and back in the day, it took 4 hours to do this test, and you only did it in 10 minutes. Isn't technology great? And I just wanted to say, yeah, but you know what's greater? People who tell you shit before you have to go do it.
People who tell you all of the potential side effects.
Yeah, or anything at all that makes sense to me as a common, user of your freaking crappy technology. Anyway, I go, I change, I'm getting out of there, and she hands me 3 water bottles. Now drink these. I said, right now or like what? She goes, as soon as you can just keep chugging water, the better. I said, why? She says, because we got to get that iodine out of your system. I'm like, great. What does that mean? Are you telling me am I radioactive? What am I? And she says, well, there's a ton of it in you and you want to get that out because you don't want that collecting in your kidneys or anywhere else because that can cause problems. So just drink like you've never drank before. Just keep drinking water. So I'm like, well, my gosh, I better drink water. So I drink water like a maniac for 2 days because sure enough, she's right. Like there was I'd get these weird, like almost like chemically looking like rashes on my hands and stuff. Like,
oh, geez.
It's just, I don't iodine. I'm not allergic as far as I know, but it's not, it's a foreign thing and it's too much of it. And it's all in your guts. And so I had to, I drank a lot of water. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine. And I haven't gotten results yet, probably today or tomorrow, and I'm sure those will be fine too. But the point is, the point is, dude, if somebody hands you 20 ounces of what looks like goat pee, do not drink it unless you get all the info.
Right.
Especially on your 3-hour fast.
Is there
fast.
Another color that might be better that most people don't have a reaction to?
So I did some reading later, and it's like, there's various kinds of things they could have given me. But the other common one is no better. It sounds worse. It's like thick. You'd hate it. It's like thick and gooey.
Mm.
And the stuff I had was like liquidy.
This stuff wasn't thickened?
No, it was really like a Crystal Light. Like you'd mixed
crystal
a
light consistency.
Yeah,
okay.
Except full of iodine, which meant that I needed to reject it. As soon as it hit me, my body said, nope, nope. Send it straight through, boys. We're not hanging on to this. It's basically what happened. It was an awful day. So let's hope that today I don't get a call going, Mr. Johnson, we found a decaying gopher family in your guts. And It's going to require immediate surgery. So I let me put a stamp on this by saying finally, my heart goes out to everybody out there who is subjected to constant tests because of some medical issue or another, whatever it may be.
Who deal with this sort of thing on a regular basis.
It really gave me appreciation for that because you walk out, because I hardly ever have things like this. It's like first time I went to a doctor after, you know, when I was a kid, I went a couple times for whatever, but I think it was an appendicitis when I was 16 and then like jumped to maybe last year, the last time I really had to go to a doctor for something. Like, I just don't go. So I don't have any appreciation for it. I'm a complete wuss about it. But people who have like real, genuine, chronic problems, no matter what they are, if your knee's bad or whatever, and you're constantly getting shots and cortisone and different medications and then all these tests over and over and over, I feel for those guys. Mm. Like cancer patients, I don't know how. The bravery on display with people makes me feel like a giant flaming wuss. I don't know why I use the word flaming. I do not mean that in a derogatory way.
You know, at some point I was thinking you're going to have in the story this point which you look down the hall and you swear you saw a weird looking goose in a lab coat laughing his head off going into a
oh man,
side door.
I wish they would have given me something to just kind of chill me out, because I was everything that kept happening just kept stressing me out, and having this weird little old lady do it all, it was like being in a fever dream. Like it was like in this, with like a big fisheye lens, everything just looked crazy. Sure. Like, ow, what do we have here? Like that. What am I trying to think of? There's something like that. Oh, like ho, ho, ho. It's like, what's his name in the Christmas story?
The Christmas story.
Yeah, or, everything's just too big. Pee-wee's and weird.
Dream about the Truckosaurus eating his bike.
Yes, exactly. It was all kind of
a Truckosaurus. It was one of the dinosaurs from the.
And then I walk out feeling like I've been violated in 15 different ways. I'm not even sure my pants are zipped up. Do I have my wallet? What was my name? You know, I'm feeling kind of disheveled as I walk out of that place. And I came out to see Kim in the room chilling, kind of reclined all the way back with her feet on a table playing Bejeweled 3. Now, that's normally not an unusual thing, but given all these circumstances, it just felt like another part of a dream I couldn't wake up from.
Right, right.
It's like, what is it, honey? Bling, bling. I made 5 in a row. Ho, ho, ho. It sucked. It's a bad day. Anyway, thanks for indulging me, everybody, and finally getting that off my chest. It was an awful experience. It was a bad time. Let's put it that way. All right, Brian. We should call Daryl. Before we do, though, real quick.
Yeah.
I've already had 2 Thanksgivings. And I wanted to
crazy.
I wanted to gloat about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So because so many of Kim's side of the family are leaving town, and because so many of my side of the family are leaving town for various reasons, we did a big Saturday thing from like noon till 8 that day at Kim's sister's house on that side of the family. Big full Thanksgiving thing from top to bottom, and played a lot of poker. And then, much to the chagrin of my mother-in-law, who thinks poker's of the devil. But that's fine. That's fine.
It's gambling.
Yeah, you're gambling. That's of the devil. And so, I hate black people. Just kidding. She never actually comes out and says, I hate black people. But you know, there's a little bit of something in there. Anyway, then yesterday, same thing. Go to my sister's house. Big Thanksgiving. It was kind of great. 2 days in a row. And I had fully recovered, so it was great. It's like, yeah, give me all this food. I'm good, man.
Totally jealous. I'm only going to get 1 Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, and so I get a third because we're doing another thing on Thursday just with a smaller group, us and some friends and a couple family, and that's it. So 3 Thanksgivings, baby. That's how you live. That was my reward for being poked, prodded, scanned, and peed myself, or phantom peeing myself. Oh, by the way, just to clear that up, I didn't actually pee myself.
Right,
so there's no
right.
end to the story where I'm like, and the worst part is I actually did.
I really did.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, there's your story. I hope you enjoyed it. Now here's a new story of a different kind. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Hero Movie Podcast, the best source of superhero movie discussion in the multiverse. Each week, Adam, Sean, and Bruce talk exclusively about the only movies that matter, superhero movies. Hero Movie Podcast has it all. Find it at heromoviepodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
Lovely. Daryl's on the line. Hi, Daryl. Daryl.
What's going on in my park?
He's not hearing us. I don't know why.
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. No. Now you're not
He's
muted.
He's hearing us. Whatever. We're not hearing him.
Yeah. Now I hear you.
It didn't ring for a while for some reason.
Well, that's weird. I don't trust Skype. Hey, these things go together. Listen.
Zert. Zert.
That's pretty good. It's from our movie, our film sack yesterday. People should go and catch that at filmsack.com. Daryl, how's it going, man? What's going on in your life?
Good. Good after that old man story.
Ugh, dude, it sucked. I mean, look, the colonoscopy may be even worse. I don't know. I've never had one of those.
It's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not as bad. Because they put you out for that. You don't remember any of that anyway, right?
Right.
Why couldn't they do that to me? I mean, I know it's only, maybe because it's only a 10-minute procedure now. Or maybe because that freaking devil drink would have made me crap all over their table. I don't know. But, jeez, it sucked. Yeah, I don't, listen, I have, there are a few people in this world that have wronged me. I don't wish this on them even.
Yeah.
It's a bad time. Daryl, let's dig right into Star Trek trivia. That's what you do. You come on the show, we ask you a hard trivia question about Star Trek, and you answer it, damn it. That's what you do. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong, most of the time right. Today will be a fun challenge. Let's start it off with a mashup sent to us by Iceworm. I have no idea what this is, but here it is. Right here. Right here.
I added the wiener.
Okay.
I always add the wiener, Brian.
My limp, penis.
Which grows and grows.
I like to scream like an orc as I drive. It gets rid of my road rage.
I want to mount this on the wall, I mean. You're the one that turned me on to it. You turned me on, Brian.
Ooh, hipsters.
It's only just a real quick prick.
Brian, where's Runny Cox Ibbett?
Did you say Runny Cox?
I said right. Runny Cox.
CGI, crap. I always want to say War Button.
Wiener and penis and the journey.
I can't wait to like, mount this or do something special with it.
Leroy Jenkins?
Yeah.
Is he a wizard or like an old blues musician?
I don't know what half that was. And yes, and some of it's right from today's
like
headlines.
From today's film sack. Yeah. Yesterday's film sack.
Yeah, weird. All right. I'm starting to think Iceworm really, really likes penis humor. I think it's his favorite thing.
Yeah.
Here's your question, Daryl, and have some fun with this. Famke Janssen, better Kanoan, as he wrote here, as Jean Grey and Xenia on a top on James Bond.
Xenia. Xenia on a top.
I thought it was Xenia. I always said Xenia. No.
No, Xenia.
She's the one with the killer legs. She could strangle you with her legs.
She hopped up on his back and like was giving him a full Nelson with her legs.
Yeah, I like that because it's the kind of Bond villain stuff I like. They don't do enough of anymore. Which is like, you know, the weird power, you know, not weird powers, but they have some like freaky thing they can do, like throw a hat that cuts your head off or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, you gotta love that stuff. Was that
Odd Job?
GoldenEye?
Right?
Goldeneye. Odd Job was the one with the hat, but was she in GoldenEye?
Yeah, it was GoldenEye because it was the one where Pierce Brosnan dropped a satellite on Ned Stark's head and killed him.
Right.
Spoiler.
Right, okay.
Also appeared in Star Trek The Next Generation. What episode did she appear in?
Was it, I don't know. I'm wrong. Hang up on me now.
Was it A, Cost of Living, B, Man of the People, C, I think he meant Perfect Mate, but he wrote The Pirect Mate.
The Pirect Mate.
Yeah, I think it's Perfect Mate. And D, Imaginary Friend. Cost of Living, Man of the People, The Perfect Mate, or Imaginary Friend. While you consider your answer, very carefully as always, because that's how you do things.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
We have here a couple of things. I don't even know where to start. You want to do the weird chips from, you know what? I forgot. I meant to mention this before, but.
Let's do weird chips because all of a sudden I don't know where those other two popcorns are.
I don't either. I don't know where those went. We'll come back to those. Like these Lays. Okay, so the deal is these are Lays that made it. It's kind of like that Lego competition where you come up with a Lego idea and Lego uses it.
Well, Lay's did this here in the States, too, where they had people contribute multiple flavors of Lay's. Mm-hmm. They picked the top four, put them on the shelves, and whichever one people bought more of, the most of, they would keep that flavor, and that was the winner.
So for some reason, someone is banging upstairs, and no one's supposed to be here. What is that sound?
No one's supposed to be here.
All right, I'm going
to
do... This is a little unusual, chat room. I'm going to pause everything for a second. You guys just hang in there for a sec.
All right.
Chat amongst yourselves.
We're vetoing the chips for right now.
Oh, we're not doing chips. What happened?
Daryl's chips are in his car.
Oh.
Is your popcorn handy?
It's right here, yep.
Mine got moved. Hold on. me see it. Hold on. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, I got it. I may have eaten a large portion of the jalapeno ones we had last week.
Yeah, I forgot about that, and I have it sitting in my drawer, and it would have been a perfect thing to munch on yesterday while I was playing.
I think we'd try the golden. You want to try the golden?
All right. Did you unpause, by the way?
Yeah, we're back. Okay. We're good. I have unpaused. Right.
The golden is the one with the Rolos in it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, look at those down there.
You can roll a Rolo to your pal.
Rolos, I determined Rolos are big Milky Way poop. That's what they are. Yes. Droppings. Milky Way droppings.
Milky Way droppings.
Let's put this over there.
Big thanks again to Matthew, a.k.a. Punk Gopher 76.
Oh, I got winded running back down here. Breathe, Scott. There we go. I'm better.
That's all a right. Whole different doctor test that they're going to have to do.
Yeah, now they're going to have to do that. Oh, okay. This is interesting. They're just glued in here. Like I'll pull out one with a Rolo attached to it. What are the orange ones? They have cheese on them or what?
Probably not cheese. Probably,
I'm not so sure.
It smells like cheese.
Maybe it is cheese. Cheese and caramel and chocolate.
That's an odd combo. The Odd Combo. Coming to CBS this fall.
Yeah, I don't have a Rolo handy. They've all...
My Rolo looks kind of...
sedimented to the bottom of the bag.
Mine's all gory. It looks like it... Oh.
Oh. Daryl, are you in Sweden?
It does sound like he's in Sweden. That was bad. He still sounds kind of bad. Daryl, are you there?
He hasn't caught up yet.
Daryl, hello? Daryl? Daryl, are you there? No?
It's embarrassing to have someone help you with your personal matters.
I know, Daryl, I know. Daryl, are you there? He's still clicking. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is the weirdest thing. Can nothing go right since my neighbor came? Was that an omen?
That's right.
Daryl, are you there?
What?
Are you there?
I think he's responding to me asking if he's in Sweden. Hang up and call him. Can we call him back?
Yeah, I'll call him back. That's kind of funny. I would call that funny. Ugh. Seriously, I feel like I got neighbor bombed, and now nothing wants to work right.
Neighborus interruptus.
Exactly. Come on, Daryl, pick up, buddy.
See, if you had an outside camera, you could have looked and seen. Oh, it's the neighbor. Never mind.
Oh, it would have been great. See? Yeah, but then he still would have. Well, I guess he would have eventually left because he was leaving. That's a good point. You know what? Once again, Brian makes a point. Brian makes a point. I can't find that.
That's all right.
I tried to find it. I'm sorry. Actually, here it is.
This is called pointing.
Nope.
Kim Commando makes
Kim
a
Commando
point.
Says. Rip, 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 rip. All right, well, Daryl's not picking up now.
Oh, no.
That seems bad. Let's hang up on him again.
And we're left holding the popcorn bag.
Yeah. My suspicion is his internet there took a dive.
Yeah.
Maybe I could call him. Oh, Daryl, are you there?
Am I here?
Yeah, now you're here. You're back.
That was weird.
That was weird. Yeah. You turned into that windy thing that she does sometimes.
I could hear. Yeah. I could hear all you guys just fine.
You need a new phone.
Stops BO as no other leading soap can.
Good, because good Lord, we need it. Daryl, let's eat your thing. Eat your thing, Daryl.
Okay, let's continue. Okay.
Pretend we never left.
We're eating I'll golden eat popcorn stuff. Yeah,
there we go. Mine has cheese, caramel, and a Rolo.
Cheese? Yeah, that's okay. Caramel? Well, that's pretty good.
That's actually pretty good. The Rolo makes it pretty good.
But my Rolos are stuck in the bottom.
You heard it here first. Daryl has rollers, everybody. He's an old spinstery lady with funny glasses who has rollers on. You know, like in the cartoons.
Well, I found a Rolo.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're harder.
Yeah.
They're a little bit harder. It reminds me of this.
You metal munching moron.
Not quite metal, but it's like a...
Yep, cheese, popcorn, caramel corn, and Rolo.
Weird.
According to the web poppin', the Weeby Poppin'.
The Weeby Poppin' website. Yeah. Weebypoppin.com. It's amazing they got that name. Oh, because it's a letter B. That's easy. Like a rapper would do.
Right. Weeby Poppin'.
All right, Daryl. Back to the point here.
I'll be enjoying this all day.
Seems like we did this ages ago, but the question was, what episode was Fam KG? Oh, no, we didn't. Birthdays. Birthdays? Who?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Daryl.
Birthdays. We have two birthdays.
All right.
We have Wyatt Schultz, who played Barkley. He's 67 today. Oh, 60. Did we go stupid?
No, you're back. You're back. You're back. You're back. No, you're good. You're good.
Have things gone bad again?
Yeah, no, you're back. Are you good? Yep. Can you hear us?
Okay. I hope.
Yeah, you're good now. It keeps. You got weird internet today. He is 67. That blows my mind for some reason.
Howlin' Mad Murdock.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
From that one episode of the A-Team, Brian scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's the one.
No, I know everything about the A-Team.
Wyatt Schultz. I just want to see how he's looking right now. See if he looks 67. I'm guessing not. He's probably still young looking.
He's strapped into a chair and he's commanding the Enterprise.
Oh, he looks great. Look at him. He won't smile and show his teeth.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Do an image search. All of them are smiles of them not showing his teeth unless he's Murdoch or Barkley.
Yeah, something must have. He must have had some golden popcorn stuck in his teeth.
Maybe. I mean, there's some stuff down here.
There's a lot of him wearing the same green shirt, though.
Yeah, what's that about? Oh, that's funky. Maybe the same convention. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, good for Dwight. I always liked him. Still like him. He's great. Nothing wrong with that guy. I hope he made a lot of money with his stuff he did.
Nothing wrong at all with Dwight Schultz.
Daryl, back to your question. What episode do you think she was in?
One.
Oh, there's two. Birthday. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. What do you got there?
Denise Crosby is 57, and she looks like my mom when my mom was 57.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw her most recently in an episode of... it's old now. It's a few years ago, but it was Dexter. She got killed on Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Crosby.
She was just in The Walking Dead.
Oh, she is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's her deal on there? What'd she do? She good on there?
She is. She was working at a place that everybody ended up.
Hmm.
And it would be a spoiler for me to say anything more than that.
She looks fine. She looks great for age. Good for her. You know, I did not like her at all I didn't like her on Star Trek. Yeah, but that's just me. I had a problem with that character as all. Oh, she was on Pet Sematary, and you didn't see that either because you were.
Well, I watched it. I just wasn't on that episode of Film Stack.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there she is. Well, good for her. Happy birthday to her. How old is she now?
Mm-hmm. 57.
Oh, well, good for her. She's a young.
She looks great.
She's a young spring chicken compared to Dwight Schultz. All right. Your question was, which one of these FamK episodes was the one we're thinking of? Was it A, Cost of Living, B, Man of the People, C, The Perfect Mate, or D, Imaginary Friend? It's one of those. We know that for sure.
I have no clue. I'm getting out Henry. I never use Henry, but I'm doing it now.
All right.
Okay.
I am for you, Auric of old.
That's what she
I'm
going to
spin
know.
It yeah. like when you spin a coin.
Daryl, spin it to win it.
Also frequently taken.
Oh, I forgot to let's see. The first two.
Oh, she is taken quite a bit, yeah.
Yes. Often taken.
Yeah.
Okay. The first two, if it's Henry, the last two, if it's Steve, it came up Steve, so it's between Perfect Mate and Imaginary Friend.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let's spin again.
Okay.
Spinning for a long time.
Yeah. So okay. Skype lag doesn't kick in then. That'd be good.
It came up Steve again. So that means Imaginary Friend.
Imaginary Friend D. All right. Well, let's see if your
it's
coin.
All on Henry. I take no blame in this.
If your coin is right, you'll know right now. Is it Henry? Or is it. Sorry. Is it Imaginary Friend? Henry let you down because it's actually the perfect mate. If it had flipped the other way, you'd have had it. She's an empath and is brought out of stasis prematurely when some Ferengi accidentally wakes her up. Here is a clip of all that happening. Here you go, right here. Right here. Right there.
I am for you, Auric of old.
No, Kamala. This is not Auric. This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation.
What? Why isn't that going? Hello?
Operation Starship Enterprise.
That explains why you don't look at all like your holographs. I apologize, Captain. As an empath, I could sense your authority. I assumed you were Chancellor Ulrich.
I'm afraid that I require an explanation, Ambassador.
As do I, Ambassador. Why have I been brought out of stasis prematurely?
It was an accident. This is quite complicated.
Who changed my stasis diaper?
Here's the funny thing about that episode. Everybody goes crazy because she's like all pheromones all the time. Because her whole job in life is to come out of that pod and then whoever she attaches to becomes like their permanent mate.
Yeah.
And because she doesn't do that, like Worf's howling intent forward and Riker's just a horn dog. Like everybody is like can't stand not being around her. And Picard shows great restraint trying to keep his libido in check when she's around. Anyway, there's your episode. There's your character. There's your answer. And Daryl got it wrong. Tomorrow, we'll do it again. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek, This Week in Trek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, play a game now with us.
Okay.
Please.
Star Trek pet or actual pine tree?
Star Trek pet or actual pine tree?
So glad we're done with the probes.
Yeah. We need a theme for that. Here you go. There you go. There's birds in those trees, so that works.
Nice.
So actual pine tree or Star Trek what?
Pet.
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 Okay, go.
Let's see. Which one do we want? How about this one? Chester.
Chester. Chester tree.
Chester the pine tree or Chester the...
Here we see the Chester pine, Brian, and it's natural. See, that kind of works.
Yeah.
But also to say, Data, where did you put the cat? Chester is in here, Geordi. But that would be Spot. So it's not maybe not the right answer. I don't know. I lean tree.
Yeah, let's go tree.
Because I don't remember a Chester.
A pet named Chester.
No, I remember Spot.
This would be a pet's name as opposed to a pet's breed or like an alien creature, right? Daryl?
Could be.
Could be. Great.
So it could be like an animal called a Chester.
Yeah.
Fake alien animal.
You know, from the planet Chester 5, they have all the Chester animals.
I'll say that it would be its name for all of these.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough. I think we go tree.
Let's go tree, yeah.
This is Chief O'Brien's cat.
Damn it! Damn it. I'm not even going to let him finish explaining that one.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Coverthon, which is coming up this Thursday, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, that is, going for 24 hours, music, cover songs for 24 hours, as well as interviews, other fun things. I'm getting schedules lined up, but one of the things we do know for sure is that the first hour of The Coverthon is going to be me and Tina talking about The Coverthon. And
oh, I got to talk to you about something.
And what we're doing. Okay. And the second 2 hours, so from 11 to 1 Mountain Time, is going to be a Film Sack Roundtable with me, Scott, Brian Dunaway, and Randy Deluxe.
Yeah.
Talking movies for 2 hours and playing some music.
Yeah.
Probably movie covers.
Yeah. One of us forgot he had the instance at 10, but I'm working on a workaround.
Oh.
I completely forgot. When I was telling you,
you're still doing that on Thanksgiving?
I think we were, but I'm gonna sneeze. Sorry, neighbor curse.
Well,
it's still the neighbor curse.
Things easily.
I'll figure it out. I don't want to. The thing is, we all committed, and I'd like to keep it that way. So I'm trying to move the other one around. So
if it works out, we could do it 2 hours later.
But,
so,
but either way, I am so looking forward to this.
Like, I am too. It's gonna be fun. Awesome. It's such a. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to raise some money for Alzheimer's research and some Coverville operating costs, and we'll have more information as we get closer, but lots of guests. There's going to be some Angry Chicken time. There's going to be time probably with Hammond Chamberlain, Ice Warm, the folks from, Tim Dressen from 500 by Midnight. We're going to be talking Vegas for a couple hours.
Yeah.
From the Helicarrier, some Shield video game talk. It'll be great.
Yep.
It'll be great.
It'll be good. You'll be tired, but it'll be good. That's what you want.
Exactly.
You don't have Alzheimer's. You did actually see something happen in the App Store if you're an iOS user. Apple swapped out. They swapped out the word free with the word get.
Yes, as in there's all sorts of flavors that you can
get.
Apple
is falling in line with the European Commission's request that app sellers do more to stop inadvertent in-app purchases. In other words, kids buying $1,000 worth of Smurf berries for something called free. Following Google's lead, Cupertino has removed all instances of the word free within its iOS and Mac app stores, with the exception of its own apps like iMovie and such, like, things like that. Things they have that are theirs that are free, because they can show not only that they're free, but they have zero in-app purchases.
Right.
Here's the problem. The app makers, no matter who they are, don't have that option. So even if you make a free app that has zero in-app purchases, it still is get instead of free. And
yeah,
that's something.
But at least it's not misleading. I mean, I think for them to have to manage whether it's free, get, or $1.99 or 99 cents, that's a lot of a pain in the butt. That's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Basically,
I think that it's not hard to tell. I think people are playing a little naive here, because unless you're 90 and have never seen the internet before, I think if you see something that says free with an asterisk and below it says may contain in-app purchases, which is already what was going on, I think we're all pretty much smart enough to know what the hell that means. Like, for them to change it to get is pandering to somebody who, well, you know, thinks that they aren't doing enough, obviously.
No, I think it's going to be more for parents who, you know, don't want to have to think about this. They've got kids and they're they want to get a game for the kids. And it's like, oh, this has in-app purchases. I think more, you know, the problem more would come up if it was a free app to begin with, and then a later update, unbeknownst to Apple, started adding in-app purchases.
Oh,
good
point.
I could see somebody like sneaking something like that in.
Because even if the button changed at the point of the update, it doesn't matter, because that person already got the app 2 months ago when it said free.
Right.
You're totally right. I just think sometimes we get litigiously minded, and I know what the hell's going on. Now, I know everybody maybe doesn't pay attention to this stuff the way that you and I do. But to me, it's like, I know what this is. I'm not like suddenly going, oh, thank goodness. You're telling me when I get the new Candy Crush game with the freaking soda version or whatever, you're telling me that might have in-app purchases? Well, I would have never known if that app would have said free on it. Like, you pay attention is all I'm saying to people.
Right.
Like, if you're going to be a parent and complain about Smurfberries, then you're not being a good parent, because you ought to get in there and understand what the hell this stuff is. I know you live busy lives, but come on. This might just be this might be leftover iodine talking, but that's what I think.
I'm not. I think it's...
It's fine. Whatever. It's a label. It's not like it made... It's no work for Apple to change it, so... You know, if there's a better term than get, I'm sure we'll eventually get that too, but whatever. And I don't know what Google's doing. I know they're doing it too.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a thing with them.
They did.
People complaining about the word free with them.
They were getting in more trouble because for some reason, I can't remember what it was. I think it's easier. Certain apps have a easier time of charging you there or something, because there's less restrictions on it. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was.
God.
Android people could explain it, but, let's see, requiring password. Yeah, you have the other thing they're doing, I guess, is you have to require the password is now required. So you know how it was before, if you bought an app and if you bought another one within the next few minutes,
right?
You wouldn't have to re-enter your password. Well,
yeah.
Now it requires that again if you do an in-app purchase. So that's good. And of course, if you have a 6 or a 5S or higher, you already have the little scanner finger thing, and that already sort of does that. So. Anyway, there's that. 5 Brooklyn bars. Let's put it this way. Santa Claus walked into a bar. It sounds like a joke, right? 5 bars in Brooklyn are boycotting SantaCon. This is all happening in New York. SantaCon's coming to New York. Hipster bars in Brooklyn are saying they're going to revolt against the con. Bar owners and staffers in hard-partying, fast-gentrifying Bushwick, that part of Brooklyn... which has been tapped this year to host the Drunken Santa pub crawl, refused to serve anyone dressed like Kris Kringle, they said. Quote, look, we own a bar. We do crazy stuff. We like to get drunk, but we're not looking for people who are going to be the worst guests of the party, says Jesse Levitt, co-owner of King's Country Bar, which is boycotting the annual event after it drew complaints about revelers vomiting and urinating in the street of the East Village.
This is great. So Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club and Choke and Invisible Monsters, all these great books that I just love.
Yeah.
Favorite author.
Yeah.
Also wrote a book of nonfiction short stories called Stranger Than Fiction a few years ago. And he lives in Portland. And they also have a SantaCon up in Portland. And he decided one year to join them. So he got the Santa outfit just to kind of experience it. firsthand. And it is a mob scene. I mean, it's a bunch of drunks running around with Windex bottles full of vodka, squirting each other in the mouth with their Windex bottles of vodka and basically just causing mayhem. It's like Fight Club with Santa Clauses.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what this says. I mean, this guy says, this guy calls it, it's debauchery tourism and there's a culture clash. I'd call SantaCon bro culture, he told the Post. At least five businesses say they will not serve fake bearded bar goers. Well, why wouldn't they just not wear their beards then and just show up like douchebags? Why not?
Well, it's, you know, if they're wearing a Santa outfit, then they're there to cause trouble and
Well, one bartender said, SantaCon is played out. This is over, he says.
Wow.
Yeah. Others are afraid their quirky, cool customers would be hassled by the suburban frat boy types that sometimes attend. Quote, all my regulars are like, I'm not leaving my house because I'm going to get heckled, said Amy Akerkukchkololo. I'm sure that's right. I'm sure I got it totally right.
That's exactly right. Archiolo. There's too many vowels all jumbled in one place.
Areola. What? Finally. Oh, no, that's it in the news. HelloFresh is sponsoring the show. They are great. I love them. HelloFresh is where to go. I was trying to rhyme, but it didn't work. They make cooking fun again, and every week their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick what you like. They send the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door, not someone else's door, not this weird neighbor looking why I parked in his yard door, your door. And they send you everything you need to make this delicious, healthy meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com. See if they deliver to you. They should if you live in these United States. The code is MorningStream for 50% off. HelloFresh.com. We will now quickly jump right into celebrity poop.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Boop. That's a great show all about video games, hosted by Scott Johnson. Check it out at frogpants.com/boop.
Yep, it's today will be a new episode. I don't think there will be one on Thanksgiving, so enjoy today's, because today will be all you get this week, but should be good. Lots to talk about. Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm. He's a little goose.
Like a little baby goose, yeah. Oh. He, well, whatever. Mendoza was cute at one point in his life. he is refusing, and has refused for years, apparently, to be in People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive competition. Mm. He does not want to be your sexiest man, alive or dead.
Funny that he comes out and says this after he doesn't win. Right? Because who is it that ended up being the sexiest man alive?
Thor.
That's right, Hemsworth.
Yes, Chris Hemsworth. Fans have complained that the Notebook star won't have the coveted title, which was just awarded to Avengers actor Chris Hemsworth earlier this week.
It says it right there. There we go.
Fans have complained to the magazine. It seems it's out of people's hands. The magazine, not actual people. An insider told TheWrap.com. They tried a few times, especially during this huge year, in 2011. And let's see, an individual close to the cover said, the consensus was he's too serious for it, too artsy. He says, that's pretty much why I've always turned it down, too. We're artists, Ryan and I. A spokesman for Gosling.
Says the writer of this article.
Oh, the writer of this article. Nice of him to inject himself in here needlessly. That's stupid. Anyway, he doesn't want to do it. Steve Jobs movie at Sony, that one based on the book that's the best-selling book by what's his name, can't think of his name, Walter Simonson, that's it. They're not making the movie now. This is the Aaron Sorkin thing that was supposed to originally be directed by what's his name, Dragon Tattoo,
David Fincher.
Yeah. He fell out, so then it was Danny Boyle, which is fine. That's fine. I like Danny Boyle a lot. Yeah. And now Sony's like, we're not doing this. So they're out. Much-discussed project based on Isaacson's biography of Jobs will now be shopped to other studios. Universal is said to be interested in the project with an eye on next year's award season. Blah, blah, blah. The film has struggled to cast a lead. DiCaprio, Christian Bale, were both circling at some time, or at one point. Bale withdrew earlier this month. He yelled, I'm Batman, and he left. Fassbender is the latest to expressing interest in playing Jobs. That's cool. I like Michael Fassbender a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he could do it.
Young Magneto.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Young Magneto. Mm. Mm-hmm. Hubba, hubba. One source says Boyle needed the film to go into production in January and a very short window before he starts another project. So they got to get this going. Sony, what are you doing?
Maybe,
you crazy?
Maybe that's why it didn't work out. They just were dragging their feet too long on getting things rolling to start filming in January.
Freaking feet draggers. That does it for that. Hey, Tweaked Audio is also sponsoring today's show. Get yourself some, that didn't come out right. Go get yourself some sweet new earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. And while you're there, as you shop around and you decide what fits your ears the best, might I give you a code that will save you money? How about this code here? Stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, stream, all one word. Well, of course it is. It's one word. Use that at checkout. You know, like unlike stream.
Stream.
Stream, yeah. Stream at checkout. 33% off. That's a third off for our listeners. It's think of it this way. Normally you'd spend like 30. Instead, you'll spend like 19. I mean, that's just that's a huge difference. That's tweakedaudio.com. Go there now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers with Mr. Steven Schleicher. He'll be here. And after that, V for Video Games, talking about Dragon Age Inquisition and what she thinks of that game so far. Ooh, but before all that, Brian has prepared music.
Yes, well, Don, a.k.a. Diddy, D-I-D-D-I in the tadpole, wrote in, said, "Dear Scott and Brian, 7 years ago on this very date, I married my best friend and soulmate. At first, our relationship was a long-distance one, and we spent significant time away from each other. During one of these stretches apart, Green Day's song Wake Me Up When September Ends became popular, and it became our anthem. It still causes a lump in my throat when I hear it. So if you could play a cover of that song, you would make mine and my wife's day. I know that Gregorian does an excellent cover, but I'll leave the final decision in your capable hands. Thanks for all you two do. Love the show, though. Don, a.k.a. Diddy of the Tadpole."
Nice.
Well, I was wrestling between the Gregorian version, which is excellent. And there's a couple different folks out there who are doing these Gregorian chant songs. And one of them is basically a guy with a major reverb filter singing over karaoke music. And then there's this other one, which is really good. Unfortunately, they're both called Gregorian, so you've got to kind of do a little looking around to figure out which is which. This one came from a 2012 album called Masters of Chant, Chapter 8. Yes, they've done at least 8 albums of these. And it's a great cover. This one's really good, of Green Day's Wake Me Up When September Ends.
But never forgets what It's me, Skeletor! Remember the exultation you felt when you got me for the holidays? Well, feel that again with a new Honda CR-V during Happy Honda Days. A rear-view camera comes standard, so you can look out for danger. I would love to watch you revel in euphoria, but now I must go and crush He-Man! Gah! Clumsy mortals! Get something you'll love at the Happy Honda Day sales event.
Don't you want to know who I am?
No.
Ladies, we heard you. This is the morning stream.
All right, and we're back. We're back.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's good to be back, isn't it?
It is good to be back.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we're gonna learn how to spell Steven.
Always helpful.
I think so, because I have to manually search for him. Why not know how to spell his name? I'm no expert on this, but come on. let's get him in here and see what's what. From all the way in the cornfields and long
wheat
desert
fields.
Drive of
wheat fields
of the Dust Bowl of this fine nation of ours. It's Steven Schleicher. Yeah. Hello, Steven.
Hey, how are
you? Good, man. How are you, man? It seems like you've it's been a busy pop culture week, I think, leading up to this Thanksgiving holiday. Don't you agree?
I think so. I think there's been enough interesting things going on.
A few things. How's your head thing? You sound a little better today.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, still pretty bad.
Yeah, you sound a little congested.
It seems like I was
coughing up a storm just 5 seconds ago.
So. Oh, really? Oh, wow. Great. It seems like you've gotten the raw end of that stick this year.
I think so. And I, you know, it's not the flu. It's not a, I don't know what it is.
It's
just a cold. Just a, you know, you mentioned Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
There's actually, and I think in Arizona, they have to watch out with the kids with the dust storms and everything.
Mm.
There's actually a respiratory disease that comes about from being around dust storms.
Little
and stuff,
particulates and
dust.
Stuff. Sure.
Yeah.
My father-in-law has basically, he's a wood dude. He used to build a lot of woodworkery things and banisters and stuff, and he had a shop where he was constantly just kicking up sawdust all over the place all the time, and now has this kind of persistent, hideous rap, you know, awful cough that he gets all the time just from that, and it'll probably never go away. I don't know what it means long term for him, but it's just always in there, man. It's always a little sawdust just hanging out in his lungs.
Yep. Well, I don't think I have anything like that.
Well, good. Well, don't breathe in the wheat or whatever it is you do there in that fine state of yours. Steven, we got some stuff here today. There's some, I guess, interest in this because probably Guardians helped make this exciting again. But somehow we as a nation are accepting the idea that Howard the Duck can come back and be a part of our lives.
Yes.
He's been in and around the Marvel Universe, you know, for quite some time.
Yeah.
I think the most recent appearance, I could be wrong on this, but I think his most recent appearance was in the Marvel Zombies crossover where he was in that. I think it was the one where it was Ash meets Marvel Zombies, Army of Darkness meets Marvel Zombies.
Because
he was in that part for a few minutes or a few pages. And yes, certainly with Guardians of the Galaxy, there has been a renewed interest for Howard the Duck. They shortly after the release of Guardians of the Galaxy, they had the omnibus, the big giant omnibus collection that was solicited. And now we find out that Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones will be bringing a Howard the Duck ongoing series to Marvel beginning in March of 2015.
Oh, that sounds all right. The art looks good.
I think
good.
So.
The preview,
Joe Quinones is great with his art. If you,
I think his website is, I forget it off the top of my head. His website is great because he shows you a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff of what he does, mm-hmm. when he does stuff cool. for like Harley Quinn and Savage Wolverine and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Well, that's awesome. This reminds me of a conversation I meant to have with you. I guess we'll have it on Comic Dorks in more depth. But, man, were you right about Gotham Central? Good Lord. What an awesome series that is.
Yeah,
that is so good. And, Brian, I know you're not a big DC guy, but yeah. I'm telling you, Gotham Central is... I don't know why I missed it or didn't hear about it or nobody pushed it on me before, but it is a revelation.
What's the premise?
It's basically Batman without Batman in it. It's like follows in kind of a procedural structure, the way that the police department functions there after the exit of, what's his name?
Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm. And how they kind of try to run things kind of post an era where there was a lot of corruption. And there are a lot of good cops now, and there's still areas of corruption, but you're still having to run into like supervillains, you know, Batman's arch nemesis all the time. And right. Batman will show up occasionally, but they're always trying to do it without him. Like they're just, he pisses them off. Because it's like, damn it, we had this case. You didn't have to swoop in here and take it. Like it's really, really, and the way they handle it, it's not even it's like they don't treat that as a gimmick or a trope at all. It's really, really effective.
It sounds a lot like the TV show, like Gotham.
No,
the
it's
TV
not.
Show.
That's the sad part.
Totally, totally not.
And that's why I feel so bad about what, because Steven, you'd said weeks ago, before that show premiered, you said, man, if they'd structure this like Gotham Central, we're in for something special.
Yeah.
Now, and I still haven't seen Gotham, but now I'm kind of afraid to, because this has set such a high bar for what that could have been.
Really?
Awesome.
If I like Gotham, I'm probably going to like this a lot more.
I think you'd like this more, yeah.
If you're a fan of shows like The Wire and what was the Baltimore Homicide Life on the Streets, you're going to dig Gotham a lot. It was a great series. It ran its course. Ed Brubaker, who's a great crime writer, wrote a lot of the stories, especially in the second edition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. When I was even nerd, I got through a couple of Brubaker you know, they do that. They're kind of like multiple issues for one crime or whatever. Right. And the first couple were him. And then somebody else stepped in and forgot his name and did one. And I was like a little nervous. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for I was getting used to Brubaker's voice in this world. Right.
Yeah.
Other guy was great, too. Mm-hmm. Like it was an awesome stories with the Mendoza, not Mendoza. Her name was crap. But anyway, it's
Montoya.
Yeah. Montoya. It's an awesome series. People should read that comic. It's great.
Yeah, the creators are Greg Rucka, Ed Brubaker, and Michael Lark on there. And if you read the first volume, it does feature Rene Montoya being outed as gay in a time, you know, when in comics you didn't have a lot of openly gay characters.
Yeah, it was like 02, and it dealt with those issues in really honest and kind of hard-hitting ways and how people, you know, immediately treat people badly. And it was just very – it's not the darkest comic in the world, but – it's pretty dark. Like, you know,
when you think about a city like Gotham, which is very, very dark, having some character stories that at times are very inspirational. I don't know if you've made it to volume 2 yet.
Not yet.
Where this one woman's son is playing in the orchestra and they've kind of been estranged and her partner's like, well, we're going and you're forced to go and you can't do anything about it because I'm driving the car. And he weasels his way using his police badge to say, hey, we're checking out some possible bombs. She's going to go around the side of the stage and check things out. And she gets to watch her son perform. And it's really touching. And there's a lot of those kind of stories.
Yeah, it's really well done. It's very TV, but good TV. Like it has the pacing of a really well-structured television show. And The Wire comparison is a pretty good one, I think. I think it's awesome. You should totally watch it.
Batman's, it really is.
Batman's kind of a jerk
I think it's actually found more readers post-cancellation than it did when the series was running.
Yeah, I don't think people knew. I don't think they had any idea what they were missing. It's that good. I didn't. And here I am, 10 years later, 12 years later getting into it. Just when Batman shows up, you just realize what a dick he can be. To the establishment, you know?
It's really crazy. Again, in the second volume, there's a character that's hired specifically just to turn on the bat signal.
Yeah.
Because the police are not allowed to do it because it disrupts the chain of events.
Yeah. Because he comes in and even he doesn't like it. Like, what's his name? Went out to use it just to chew him out in a couple of issues in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Batman shows up and he says, never use that. You know, don't use this unless it's real murder. I mean, he's just a jerk to everybody.
Wow.
It's like, I don't need any of you people. I mean, if you need my help, fine, but don't use it unless you really need it. And, you know, it's a very, very interesting idea that I think totally works. The writing's incredible.
Cool. Oh, I'll totally check that out. Sounds great.
Brian, or Stephen, who is the Reverse Flash?
Nobody knows yet. So, well, people who read comic books know that the Reverse Flash is Eddie Thawne, a speedster from way far in the future who has something against Flash and the Flash family.
Oh, I was hoping he was really slow, like the reverse of Flash. Oh, okay.
Well, he's reversed because, see, the Flash's costume is red with a yellow lightning bolt. The Reverse Flash is a yellow costume with a red lightning bolt.
One of those deals. Okay.
Comic books. Mm. So in this TV series, The Flash, which is, if you like Gotham, Brian, then you need to be watching The Flash because it is by far the best comic book adaptation on television right now.
Yeah. That's what I hear. I'm a few episodes into Arrow, which actually, as much as I've heard people warn me about the first season, I'm actually kind of enjoying it. And maybe I haven't got into the whole
relationship part of it yet. Yeah, you'll love too once you get there.
Yeah, the bits and pieces. There are bits and pieces in the first season, I'll agree, which are really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In The Flash, in this TV series in The Flash, there is some yellow blur that has killed Barry Allen's mother, and we know it's the Reverse Flash.
Oh, I had that at the hospital the other day, the yellow blur, they call it.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's the name. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
So there's also a new character in the series called Dr. Wells, Dr. H. Wells. Nobody knows his middle initial, but I bet it's H.G. Wells.
Probably.
So a lot of people, and he has some access to the future, and a lot of people suspect he's a time traveler. A lot of people are thinking that, no, he is the Reverse Flash, but there's already a character in The Flash TV series named Eddie Thawne. Mm. This week, and this is potential spoilers, or last week, we found out that episode 9 will feature The Flash fighting the Reverse Flash. And in the solicitation that Warner Brothers sent out, Dr. Wells, who's played by Tom Cavanaugh, and Cisco, who's one of the assistants at Star Labs, have come up with a way to trap him. So why would Dr. Wells, why would he be trying to trap himself? So that's pretty much thrown anybody who's thinking that that Dr. Wells is the Reverse Flash out the window.
Wow. So
I know it's kind of complicated, long way to get there. But
also, can the Reverse Flash please, can his power be that he runs backwards, though? Because that'd be great, right?
But really fast.
Yeah, really fast, but just always backwards.
You know, you were talking about your hospital visit. There's actually a comic character called The Wizard.
Mm. The Wizard, for real?
The Wizard, yep.
Is his power to be a lot, or
right?
What's
the
deal?
It was the guy with like little tornadoes and stuff on him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm, yeah. Okay, well, fair enough.
So dumb.
Yes, super dumb.
Yes, in the pantheon of stupid characters, the Wizard ranks right up there next to Paste Pot Pete.
Well, it's all bad.
Matter Eater Lad.
Yeah. Matter Eater Lad is maybe the best of all time. So do we know, there's some rumor we may know what we can expect from the spinoff movie based specifically. It's basically Batman Lego, but spun off from the Lego movie, but it's all about Batman. I assume Will Arnett and all that, but do we know what we can expect from that thing yet?
We can expect every era of Batman in Lego form.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. And, so even the 60s show era, that thing?
Hello? Yes, exactly.
You sorry, you were coughing.
Right. No, sorry. There was actually, I think they put out a graphic over the weekend or late at the end of the week where they actually kind of showed in Lego form all of the 40 different incarnations of the Batman costume. Oh, and if we're going to see those in the movie, which they said that we're going to see all these different interpretations of Batman up on the screen, including multiple iterations of Batman's origin story.
I am entirely on this idea. That's a fantastic
idea. Are we going to see like the Frank Miller Dark Knight,
well, could be. I think we're going to see 20 different deaths of the Waynes for sure.
Wow. That's great.
This actually sounds really good.
I don't know. There's something about the way that Batman is a complete tool in the Lego movie that just makes me kind of want to see an entire movie where he's just that way throughout.
Wow.
So full of himself. I mean, you guys have seen the Lego movie,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Where he's just like throwing batarang after batarang after batarang to hit a switch and then finally it hits and he goes, yes, first try.
Yeah. It's just Will Arnett nails that character too. Like that whole smarmy, full of himself, oblivious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
I think this is a good sign of at least one area where Warner Brothers is willing to be fun with Batman and not so serious,
With the Lego video game that comes out from Warner Brothers, they poke fun at themselves all the time and they've had full-on animated movies that feature the Lego characters where it's just silliness and they're okay with it. And I think that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm in. Bring me in. I'm good. I want to see it.
We can see that in 2017.
Oh, okay. So it's a little ways off. Everybody tuck in. It's going to be a while.
Stephen, I got to thank you. Your early tweet this morning about the teaser trailer for Jurassic Park.
I'm a little disappointed how on the nose, like, referential it is, though. Like, isn't it just the shaking water the dash, or is it more than that? That's all it is, right?
To me, it felt
more than that. You see, like, a Pope-mobile. What was that? What was the thing that you put a hamster in? Yeah,
it's like a hamster ball that they get in, and it closes in around them.
Right. Well, clearly, I haven't seen all of this. Then I need to see more.
If you want to see some more kind of spoilers for Jurassic World, Lego has a Jurassic World set that's coming out, and they actually showed off the big bad iteration of the T-Rex that comes out, and it's big and blue and white, and it's kind of some spoilers if you go around and look for it.
And full trailers next week, is it?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Thursday, isn't it? Isn't it during football? Thursday night football? Thanksgiving football?
Yep. And supposedly we are, if rumors are correct, we're going to see a first trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens in movies that are released this week. In December with The Hobbit.
Really? Okay. Wow. Ooh. I'm excited about that.
I was blown away. We saw Interstellar over the weekend, and it was the first time. Really good, really good movie. And it was the first time that I saw the Avengers trailer in the theaters, the Avengers 2 trailer. Mm. Holy cow! Seeing that thing up on the big screen just makes me want it more and sooner and faster.
Well, there's no strings on you. right?
Well, there are no strings on me.
I knew I had that somewhere.
The Blacklist on NBC.
Steven, anything else in your world you'd like to mention before we let you go?
I know that's about it. I think I would encourage everyone to head over to majorspoilers.com, where we've got all sorts of cool stuff. Yep. May not be all for you, but there is something there for you.
Well, as always, it's a great place to go. It's my favorite place to go. Should be a new Comic Dorks this week. I'm unsure with the holiday. I didn't consider that last week when I had to bump it for the stupid long story test I had to do. But we'll be there, and you'll hear me talk. You'll hear me gush more about Gotham Central. It's my favorite new comic right now, and my favorite new old comic, rather. Steven, always a pleasure. Stay out of trouble, and I hope that cold abates, man. What a sucky deal that is.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, stay out of trouble. We'll see.
Bye.
All righty. Okay. It's Veronica time.
Yay!
Get Belmonte in here.
Belmonte.
And discuss.
Makers of fine canned vegetables.
We used to get Belmonte all the time when I was but a young lad.
Is it still around? Like completely taking them over.
It's only in my dreams. I don't know. we got a new little intro here. The Capcom intro. It's V for Video Games. Veronica Belmont, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my gosh, how excited are you? You sound so excited.
Stretch. Good morning.
It is only 8:22 in your time zone.
I'm such a baby.
That's all right. No, listen. I say this I'm not trying to pander or anything, but you are one of the hardest working people I know in this world of internetery and content creation world and stuff that we do.
Oh, pander away.
And,
please do.
I'm not surprised you're tired. You should be. You're usually flying off somewhere or doing something huge, and I don't know how you sleep at all. So you are more than welcome to be tired on our show. Trust me.
Drugs, Scott. Drugs. That's how I sleep.
That's the answer.
Lots of drugs.
We knew it.
Yeah, we knew
it. Don't do drugs, kids.
That's right. I always like it when you say things like that because it makes a great mashup material later. So V, it's good to have you back. And we thought today, hey, let's talk. There's all this stuff going on. There's little things happening in the news. It's video game season. But man, I just want to know how Dragon Age Inquisition is, because I still haven't played it. I've been playing too much WoW with this new expansion. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of just right there. I just want to get it and go. And I've been a little unsure because 2 is kind of terrible in my opinion. And I really liked 1 though.
I didn't think it was terrible.
I hated to.
Anyway, I know. A lot of people did. Yeah. So I'm having a real problem recently because there's just too many games I want to play.
Yeah.
I haven't even finished Shadow of Mordor yet, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And then I never started Destiny. I want to play Destiny. Mm. The new expansion's out for WoW. And, of course, Ralph and Xan are peer pressuring me to get back into the game again.
Of course. Yep.
And they are very persuasive. So that may happen. Mm. And then what else is out there? There's just, and Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yeah, I want to play that. I want to play that. I even want to play the new Call of Duty.
The new space Call of Duty.
It looks all right. Mm. Like, I know we're all sick of Call of Duty, but I've heard really great things about the campaign, and I'm interested in at least, you know, getting a run through that. But you're right. I'm having that kind of weird, like, nerd guilt for not playing everything that's out there right now.
Totally. But right now I am digging into Dragon Age Inquisition, and I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's hard not to. I'm such a huge Dragon Age fan, and it sounded like I said Dragonade. Like Dragonade. Gatorade instead of Gatorade is Dragonade.
You know, delicious. When you need some real hydration, go for Dragonade.
But it's fun. Yeah. I made a Canary warrior type girl, and I was real jealous though because I saw Felicia's character. Have you seen it?
No.
The one she made?
No.
And it looks just like a badass version of her. I mean, she's already badass, but the character is hilarious.
Well, are the character creation tools enough that you can get real specific like that and make it look like
totally.
You?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, even with Mass Effect, you could have made a character that looked just like yourself in Mass Effect. And of course, this being a BioWare game, it's right up that same alley. Yeah. I was like, oh, I should have made my Kunari look like me but have horns and look like a crazy murderous version of Veronica.
Yeah, but with bangs. Still have bangs.
But with bangs. Gotta have bangs. I don't know if there's a bang option for the hair. I'll have to look through that.
Well, yeah, the game itself has a bang option, but that's a different story for a different day.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played.
I'm excited to hear that it's good. I mean, I've heard nothing but raves. What I'm more interested in, though, is the aspect that is the exploration aspect, because there's a lot of people comparing it favorably to something like Skyrim in terms of scope and size. Still a nice, tight story, lots of dialogue and all that, but a
so
bigger world
dialogue.
To explore. Like, yeah, in fact, you were complaining on Twitter. How is the dialogue? Too much?
The dialogue itself is great. I mean, obviously a ton of work went into the dialogue writing and the voice acting, and all of that is really, really good. But, you know, I was still kind of in the beginning stages of the game where there is a lot of exposition that needs to happen.
Sure.
So they're kind of explaining the whole world to me, and I'm like, I just want to get out there and kill some things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's gotten better now. And I've just been roaming around the hinterlands, and I actually, I was looking something up on Reddit, and I saw a thread that was like, get out of the hinterlands, go do something else, you don't have to stay there forever, because it's so big that you can just stay in this basic, like, first starting area, doing side quests and killing things until the game is kind of like, all right, well, now the only things you can kill are way higher than you, and you're just gonna wipe, like, every time you try to play this area, so you should move on to a different area, you should leave this hinterlands area and go explore the world a little bit.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Like, I didn't even realize I was getting stuck in this huge, massive first starting section because there's so much to do.
Yeah. Well, I like that because that's the Skyrim part I was kind of hoping for. I didn't want like a linear. My main problem with 2 was that I felt like I was just going down a hallway in a sense.
And you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And this is much different than that. Mm-hmm. And it's so much like Skyrim in certain ways that I actually remapped all my key bindings to be exactly like Skyrim.
Oh,
and
so you're
it makes
playing,
it a little difficult when you go into that like party battle mode. I forget what it's called, but it's, you know, so that kind of changes things a little bit. I don't use that as much as I probably should. I'll probably get more use out of it as I progress through the world.
Sure.
But right now I'm still only like 6 or 7 hours in.
And you're doing PC, right?
Yes.
Okay. And looks great, I assume.
It looks fantastic.
One would hope. Yeah,
it looks really good.
Gotta go through
Origin. I'm, you know, all thumbs up so far. I'm really enjoying it. I just am trying to find the time to play.
Yeah, that's the hard bit. Like, that's such a commitment, a game like that. You're only 7-8 hours in. It probably represents a good 80 to 100 hours of potential gameplay there.
Yeah.
If it's even remotely like Skyrim. And that's a scary prospect, because when those kinds of games come out, that's kind of all that's all I want to do. And therefore, whatever limited game time I have will go into that. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of terrified to crack that thing open because I know I'm not going to want to get out, especially if it's good.
Just dive on in, Scott.
All right.
Dive on
I'm
in.
Ready. Is it
get in there.
No multiplayer? I thought there was some co-op or something. Isn't there?
There is. I haven't tried it yet, but there is.
All right. Maybe that'll be my excuse because that sounds like fun. I mean, you know.
You'll have somebody join you in there. Yeah.
Because the
play on the PC. Come co-op.
All right. I'll do that. But the big complaint about the like Skyrim was always that, wouldn't it be cool if people could co-op in here? And if what you're telling me is true, that we're getting a kind of Skyrim experience, combine that with great storytelling from BioWare, and then slip in there a little co-op, that's kind of a irresistible package.
Yeah, well, when you think we were really looking forward to the Skyrim MMO, you know, the Elder Scrolls Online, because we wanted that. We wanted to play in the Skyrim world with other people.
Yeah.
And now what happened there. It was not the big success that we were hoping it would be. And I found it very difficult to play, frankly.
Yeah.
It did not have that ease of use factor I think that World of Warcraft has. It didn't have that shiny factor that something like Guild Wars 2 has, mm-hmm. or even Rift. And so now it's just like, it's just kind of a depressing World of Warcraft.
It's kind of just there. That's a great, put that on the box next time they make a box version of that. It's a depressing World of Warcraft. 2 stars or
and
whatever.
The controls are more difficult, so yeah. Have fun.
Yeah, have Woo-hoo. Fun, everybody. Well, that's great. People should play it, and I'll let you know when I get in, and we can try some of that. V, anything else happening you'd like people to know about? Any sword and laser-ish things or anything?
Let's see. Well, we're going to have, if you're in San Francisco and want to come to our local group meetup, we're having that at 6 o'clock at Borderlands Cafe in San Francisco. Cool. We meet in the back of the cafe and talk about the book of the month, which was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Mm-hmm. So that should be a lot of fun. Yeah. I think that was the book pick this month. I read it so long ago that I'm having trouble remembering what book is actually up for that month.
Well,
tomorrow is our live episode at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific time.
Nice.
Just a regular episode. And then yeah.
Then who knows from there? Does the Borderlands Cafe feature snarky dialogue and guns that drop with great stats on them?
Does Claptrap bring you your coffee?
He does. He does. It's pretty amazing. You know, I never made that connection until just now.
Oh,
so.
Well, there you go. A little video game connection for you. It's Veronica Belmont. Veronica on Twitter, everybody. Veronica, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. It's always good to talk to V. You know, she's a pro. She comes on here. She whips it out.
Mm-hmm.
And shows us all her phallus. That's terrible. All right. Emails. Let's do some emails. Emails.
Right. I think it sounds like a great idea.
They're brought to you by what?
Finger Food Thanksgiving. Get all the foods you want, like mashed potatoes and gravy, but fingerized.
Yeah, just dipping your finger in it all. That's what yesterday kind of was. And, this is funny. I got to share this with you. Hold on.
Because you say Kim did that last year, didn't she?
She did. So we did opposites. We did that with her sister's family, her side of the family last year. And then this year they did traditional, and my side of the family did the finger thing because they all thought that sounded great, so they wanted to try it. And in the end, that's where we ended up. All right, so why can't I find Vine? I got to find this Vine. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. Vine. It's of my brother. Here we go, vine.co. Can I just look at me? How do I do that? Just slash. Well, this is annoying. I don't know how this works. Okay, well, maybe this is a terrible time to do this.
Damn it. Sure sounds like it.
Oh, here it is. Here we go. Scott Johnson. All right, I found it. This is my brother.
All right, so there's a ton of food here, and we're all going to eat it. Ooh, there's sushi. Wonder who has sushi. Oh, it's the Asian guy.
Hey, sushi.
All right, so there's a ton of
food. It's pretty funny. People should watch that video. I'm going
to
put it.
Oh, that was Ding Pong, right? I remember seeing you link to that on your Twitter feed.
I done tweeted it last night. He's a goofball. Anyway, so we had the point was we had sushi as part of it, and it was great. Strontium.
And strontium.
Strontium and barium. Barium is a kind of thing you can take for these tests.
So strontium.
I guess so. Mine was called gastrocenti something like that.
Okay.
Or as we now know it, what did we call it when Steven was on? The yellow...
Oh, it was a... I was going to say it's Dragonade, but that was Veronica's thing.
Yeah, that may work too, though. That's pretty good. I don't remember what it was. It was like yellow, the yellow streak or whatever the hell
right.
it was. Anyway, strontium and barium.
Flash.
I see. Yeah. The yellow flash. That might have been it.
Yellow blur.
That's it. The yellow blur. I had shin splints a few years ago, he says, and the doctor ordered one of those radioactive dye treatments and a scan to see if I had small fractures. When the nurse gave me the injection, she said it would be out of my system in 2 to 3 days. When I told her I worked in a nuclear plant, she looked around and leaned in and whispered, "It will be about 2 weeks before you can go to work." Good Lord.
Wow.
This is because when we enter and leave our work, we pass through sensitive radiation scanners to prevent us from taking any bad stuff home. So if you set the scanner off on your way in, you can't go inside, says Bronco. Says this has to do with radioactive half-lives and biological half-lives. She was not really lying with the 2 to 3 days. It's just I was in a special circumstance. Email me if you want the boring part. Well, Bronco, that wasn't boring at all.
Or no, not at all.
I guess he's saying this is the exciting part. Yeah, that stuff. I'm like, to this day, I don't know if it's totally out of me. I don't know if it is or isn't. I mean, the injected version, is possible my liver still has like 4 ounces of it in there? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. They don't tell me. They just tell me as I go. It's like, oh, you might pee a little. Oh, you drank it all? You might have the blaster shits. Thanks, oh lady. God. Terry Steiner wrote in. Says, hi, Skies. Hi, Skies. Hi, Skies.
Hi, Skies.
I am a new listener from to the Morning Stream, and I'm loving it so far. When you guys were discussing corporate brand rankings, you said the Samsung Gold Star used to be the junk electronic brands. I think Gold Star still lives that way, but whatever. Yeah. Here is my random trivia for the day. In 1995, Gold Star Electronics, i.e. the Kmart special, went on to merge with Lucky Chemical Corporation to form Lucky Gold Star, now officially shortened to simply LG.
Oh,
Samsung
no way.
Is not the only Korean company that has significantly improved their quality control. I had no idea LG used to be
either.
Gold Star.
Like LG TVs are ranked really highly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it was Lucky Gold Star. Yep. That's hilarious.
Yep, I think that's awesome.
Lucky Chemical Corporation. I just like that there's a place called the Lucky Chemical Corporation.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't get burned by these horrible caustic chemicals? You're lucky.
Lucky you.
Lucky you. LG Electronics actually still makes some Gold Star brand of products, though I do not believe any of those are sold in the U.S. market. You know why, Terry? Because they were trash back mm-hmm. then, and they don't want to rely on that name. But you know what? Most Korean, Japan went through the same process. Japanese stuff after World War II was kind of terrible, and then it became amazing, and then it became the standard. Korean stuff in the 80s, terrible. But then it became awesome, and now all their cars, all of their car companies, electronic companies, they're all great now. So there's that. All right.
Yeah.
Final email from Scott from Houston. He says this. Hey, guys, regarding rocket tubes, talking about the Micronauts.
Not lava tubes, but rocket tubes.
Rocket tubes. The rocket tubes discussion really brought a lot of nostalgia for me. I remember taking forever to set one up and try to play with it and only spend more time figuring out where the leaks were.
That's so true. You had these little plastic C-shaped brackets that would go over the sides. And if you had any areas where those things weren't, then you'd have this big air leak.
Yep.
And nothing would move.
Yep, it's bad. It says, once you finally got it working at full speed, it was great. I would sit there forever watching the guy go around the track. Don't forget the glow-in-the-dark stickers. Anyway, it made me think, how would my kids react to it in today's world? So here's his little play. Brian, I want you to be the dad. I will be the kid. So you're the me, and I'll be the kid.
All right.
What does it do?
You put the guy in, and he moves around the tube.
What does he do?
Nothing. He just goes around and around.
Okay, I'm going to go play on my computer now. He's probably right. That's how it would go.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway,
it's like the, it's just a version of model trains, mm-hmm. right? Cause you put that on a track and it just goes around and around.
Yeah.
But it's the whole like, oh, I built this thing and he zips around these little curves and oh, it's super cool. And oop, I made that curve too tight and he got stuck in it. Oh, well.
Oh, well, do it again. I mean, we were engineering kids.
Genius.
We were genuinely interested in making things work. So sure. We would spend a lot of time tweaking stuff. I remember doing that with my Hot Wheels tracks and stuff for hours and hours and hours. I miss that, you know? You don't get to do that as much. Although, let's just, I don't want to get all old man about this. I mean, what is Minecraft if not that? I mean, it's a virtual space where people are building crazy contraptions and trying to make things work, and that's not that different. I think that's just a kid's mind. And I think we just all miss being kids, and we all think our childhood was better, but I don't think it's that different. I think kids still do it today. I mean, Nick's making, like, physics simulations and some 3D modeling program right now. But what's the difference between that and me building stuff with Hot Wheels? It's not that different. Different tool, different toy, you know, whatever. To each his own. Go with the flow, though, says Scott from Houston. That's it.
That is true. I mean, the Hot Wheels track, same damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Did you have a slot car set, by the way?
I'm trying to remember what that is. Remind me.
That's slot where you've cars. Got the cars with the little metal leads on the bottom, and you'd put them on this track that had a battery, like the middle of the road was battery linked.
Oh,
so when the slot cars were on there, and you had a little gun shaped thing that only had one function. Go.
Yeah, that was it, right? That was all it did.
Yeah, when you pulled the trigger, the slot cars would go.
Here is here's an old commercial about that very thing. Let's play it here real quick. Very old. Oh, that's only coming through one ear, so screw that. How about this one? Dukes of Hazzard slot car set.
Of course.
Here you go.
You'll line up the road in the General Lee in swift pursuit. You can guarantee our Roscoe and Boss Hog light the trail. If they get you, you know they'll toss you in jail. You zig and you zag, spin out with ease, but Roscoe's got Luke and Bo in a tight squeeze. But coming up again is that great big leap. You make it good, but Roscoe winds up in a great big heap.
The only problem with that commercial is it's choppy as all hell and back. But yeah, there you go. Slot cars, man.
Those were the best.
Good times. I just love making them fly off into nowhere.
Right, speed exactly.
Them up too fast. That's it for emails. If you would like to submit an email, you can. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, our website, frogpants.com/TMS. Contact details of all sorts are there, including our Twitter accounts, which you can find at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. A little corn there at the end. Brian, why don't we now survey the land and do it through the goggles of fine music? Please play me a song.
Wow, geez, I think you're putting this thing way up higher on a pedestal than it deserves. Well,
there you go.
Well, okay, maybe not. Leland Crawford wrote in from Florida and said, "Hey, screw and bolt. The 23rd of November will be my first anniversary to my lovely wife, Robin. She's the most beautiful and caring person on the planet, and she deserves way more than I can give her." Mm. So I guess go ahead, Robin. Go out and see what else you can find is what he's basically saying.
Yep.
She only listens to the show when she's in the car with me, but she enjoys it, and I know she would love to hear a cover in her honor. Our first dance at our wedding was to Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon, so a cover of that seems fitting. She loves a cappella and chip tunes, but anything awesome would make her smile. Not no country, bluegrass, or metal, please. Thanks, guys. The show remains somewhat adequate despite your best intentions. Leland from Florida. Yes, America's Wang.
Nice.
Well, believe it or not, I didn't have an a cappella version or a chiptune version of Fly Me to the Moon, but I do have a really cool kind of trip-hoppy version by Groove Armada. Now, they contributed to a thing in the UK called Late Night Tales. It's like a music series, a CD series, where bands not just get their own music onto these CDs, but also talk about some of their favorite music and their influences. And sometimes those will appear on the CDs as well. And in almost every case, these Late Night Tales CDs have a cover version on them.
Mm.
Right. So like it'll be maybe 8 Groove Armada songs, maybe a couple songs of their influences, and one cover by Groove Armada, for example. In 2011, the Late Night Tales folks did me a solid and put all of those cover songs on one CD.
Okay.
Just for me. They just did that just for me.
How nice.
Yeah, maybe not. But on that CD was this great cover of Fly Me to the Moon, performed by Groove Armada. And a great cover of the song popularized by Frank Sinatra.
Sweet. We'll play that now. Tomorrow, the normal Tuesday business will be happening, so be here for that. A note of programming note for the week. Thanksgiving is a big holiday here in these United States, and we will not have any shows that day.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back at it shortly after that the following week.
Sorry.
So don't worry about it. As we head into these holidays, things get a little sketchy, but that's really the only... It just happens to be on a Thursday. That's just the way it works. There you go. That's it. Fly Me to the Moon. Brian, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.